Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
And good morning to the strange person you have next to you.
Hello.
Hello. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'm Matthew. I'm Louise's strange son.
And probably most important assistant.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Also taller.
Oh, yeah.
The reacher of things.
Taller.
Yes, the reacher of things. It's weird when they're taller than you.
It is. Yeah. Especially when they're still in the habit of saying, Mom, can you get that for me?
Yes.
I'm like, why?
You can reach it yourself.
I've asked that before and then realized I was taller.
Yeah.
It was a moment of,
it was,
I don't know, like wonder and excitement.
Mm-hmm. It's a moment of amaze.
Yes.
And
yes.
You can finally reach the top shelf and get that glass you've been wanting the whole day.
Well, congratulations,
That's
Matthew.
That's right. So Matthew's hanging you. Out with us today.
Yeah. So our topic today, it's appropriate that you're here, Matthew, because being your mom's most important assistant in her publishing world, we're talking about the art of publishing.
That's right.
Yeah. Yay. I've learned two things.
Two things in, about publishing.
I've learned two things in this past year and a half about the Trail Mix publication that we've been under the most gentle guidance by Louise and Playfort Publishing. The two things are, number one, I never want to go into the publishing business. And number two, I never want to publish an art book again.
Ever. But so, those things, it's the hard, you know what, once you see it, you'll be, this was awesome, I love it so much.
I know, we'll have that forget thing, it's like when you have a baby.
It's like giving birth, it's very much like giving birth.
I am never doing this again.
And yet,
a year later, it's like, you're like, it's right. No. I got this thing. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah. And everybody wants to publish books. Everybody wants to have a book. But people forget how much work goes into it.
I cannot believe how much work goes into this. And even when I'm trying to explain to people, because working on this exhibition, okay, as background information, if you've never listened to us before on Artscape, there's a very large exhibition, summer 2016, called Trail Mix.
Yes.
And it is involving 15 teams of artists, photographers, and guides.
Yes.
Doing everything from hiking, biking, canoeing, experiencing shoe swap trails, creating art, writing stories, taking photographs, and then the whole thing is culminating in a book called Trail Mix.
Yes.
And that has been in the process now, in progress for about a year.
Yes.
And file management.
If you're doing the math, that's 45 people.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so the file management for this project has been the single most insane, intense process that I've ever been involved with. I've never had any kind of work like this in terms of building an exhibition before.
Yes.
It's a big...
But you did such a great job. You did.
I can't believe she's saying this when we're nearly at the end.
No, she's probably ready to strangle I'm sorry, me. I should have said it earlier. You rocked it. You get a gold star.
Gold sticker.
She stole the gold star thing from me.
What?
I came up with that.
Oh, wow. Right.
It's my thing.
It's his thing. I see. Well, we'll see about that.
Yes.
Now, when I was in grad school and I did a master's in publishing at Simon Fraser, that was one of the first...
A master's in publishing. A master's in publishing. I'm just going to say... Okay, no, go ahead.
I know. Yeah, all you really learn is how much more you have to learn. That's the thing about... That's how they keep people in school. They're like, oh, yeah, but there's more. You need to come back.
But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more.
Like a bad infomercial.
Yes, exactly. What was I going to say? Oh, so one of the number one lessons on one of the very first days was the most important thing about publishing is... And everybody was like, voice, narrative, design. You know, everybody's waxing poetic about... You know, editing, storytelling, and the guy's like, file management.
Yeah.
And he was so right.
Yes. Yeah. And you said that at the beginning. You told us all that when you came and spoke to the whole group that one day. You said, yep, file management is the single... And so you instructed everybody, okay, when you submit this, you name it this, and you name it this. Nobody did that.
No, nobody did.
Nobody named anything the way you said to name it.
Yeah, so all those files are p600215.jpg.
Yeah.
And you think... Oh, I could just guess where this goes, right? Because that's the thing about publishing is really the art and craft and business of moving information from one vessel to another via some sort of chain, right? Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we don't think about what the next person has to do.
Yeah.
Right?
And then
we... So that's why things like file management are so important.
Yeah. And when I suppose if somebody's writing their memoirs,
yes,
it might be a whole different thing because you've got one person, mm-hmm. and they can be trained possibly mm-hmm. to do this. But wrangling 45 people into the contribution part of this.
Yeah, you jump into the deep end though. You always do this. You don't make a little tile mosaic. You make an entire wall, right?
Yeah.
That's how you roll.
I guess it is.
Yeah.
But then we also have this added challenge of it being both an Art Center project and a Trail Alliance project.
Yes.
So we had, I mean, I think Phil would be okay with me saying this. We had the bulk of the work to do in terms of like how to put the exhibition and the publication together.
Yes.
But the Trail Alliance is pretty integral in terms of the accuracy of the actual trails, the description, yes. the access, you know, the how to get there and all that kind of stuff. So, and also Sequemec language and everything else. So all of these things had to roll through them too. So we just had this herding cats thing mm-hmm. happening over these last few months. It's been a bit,
yeah, but you guys did awesome.
I can't believe she's saying
and
this.
And it is awesome. No, it is awesome, but it is. Yeah. It's like herding cats mm-hmm. And whether you have one author or one poem or, you know, we have other projects, we have hundreds of pictures and dozens of contributors, or we have one author and literally thousands of photos, you know, all of those things need to find their place. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to say things like, oh, hey, you know that picture of that guy from that chapter? Can you fix that? Because you got to remember, only the author has the best sense of what the book is like. So like I would say to you, you get sign off, you get to decide. So it's the other thing about publishing is you often spend a lot of time throwing the ball back. Like, nope, you got to take this ball back.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Nope. Right. Here, so it can be very annoying.
Well,
I'm sure I annoy. If you're not annoyed with me, then I'm not doing my job.
Oh, well, how interesting.
Yeah.
You haven't been annoying yet.
Oh,
except okay. that the timeline is yes. scaring me because mm-hmm. I don't know how fast the printing industry works.
Yes.
And so that is a frightening thought for me. I thought we had to get this thing done and in the bag 6 weeks ahead.
Yes.
But it turns out that printing is faster than
wow.
it used to be.
So much faster.
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be a month. Then it was, you know, 2 weeks. Sometimes it's a week. Sometimes it's a day. It's unbelievable how quickly things have moved.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything has changed so much mm-hmm. in the last few years.
And I mean, I've been in it for so long that I've watched it go from like presses that are literally the size of locomotives to little wee tiny photocopiers that do things that those giant presses couldn't do.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the binding of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like it used to be the only way you could bind things in a hurry is with those plastic coily things.
Oh, awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
but now
there's there's machines.
Machines.
I would love
that.
To. In fact, there's a machine called it's called the Espresso. And they have one at the Edmonton.
Already.
I know, right? They have one at the Edmonton Public Library. Mm-hmm. And you can feed it your Word document and presto, change-o, bound book.
No way.
Yes way. They're really expensive machines.
I'm sure, but still, talk about self-publishing in a minute.
Sounds magical.
That would be you would use one of those, wouldn't you?
I would definitely use one.
See, I think everybody would use one.
Yeah.
And you get to watch it. It prints, and then it you know, shuffles all the papers together really tight, and then it cuts, and then it glues, and then it binds. They put like this giant glue strip, and then they bind it, and they press it, and then it comes out like, you know, a pop out of a pop machine.
like a vending machine.
So like the ultimate book making vending machines.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's wonderful.
I think that's awesome.
And
maybe every community needs one of those.
Yeah, well, it would fit nicely in an innovation lab. They're only like $6,000.
Well, actually, that's not that bad.
No, I looked into it once because I thought, I bet you I could make money if I had my own espresso machine.
Yeah.
But then I thought, well, where would I put it? Because I don't think it fit up the stairs at our office, but just saying.
That something like a library
whose
role is kind of to be innovative but mm-hmm. to keep people learning through books.
Mm-hmm. Or an art center. Can you imagine what all of those little kid drawings and
can you see it? Oh my gosh, the moms would be lined up around the block.
I know,
to
there's
publish
your
books
hello
on their
Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Social innovation.
Books of drawings and stuff. That'd be awesome.
I know, because
be awesome?
Every mom has this problem. Every parent has this thing mm-hmm. where you want to keep as much of your kids' artwork as possible, but you end up with like drawers and drawers of the stuff. Wouldn't
Tell
it be nice
it.
To be able to print a little book?
And then for schoolwork, what if you write some sort of essay or something? Just quickly run down to the library or art center or whatever, yeah. put it in a book. Or and your teacher get an extra grade.
Whoa, yeah. Ka-ching is right. Gold money, star. Money, money. Yeah.
And then even if you've got several essays, like over the course of, say, 3 years of high school or something, yeah. and you've done a lot of writing, you'd like to put it together for your portfolio, what that yes. would be lovely.
And publishing is so much more accessible now than it was. I mean, we've talked about this before, but 50 years ago, like my grandmother wanted to be a romance novelist.
But
no.
There's just no opportunity no. unless you're
I mean, you somehow could write, you know, she would have had to hand write everything. Maybe yeah. she even did write some. I don't know. Then you have to package them all up and send them away in a little box and hope the big yeah, fancy some, pants outfit in the big city will accept.
Exactly.
Right?
All and, those people that could say yay or nay for yes. all those generations yeah. were the deciding factor of what we read.
Totally. And now you can just set up a little blog on WordPress and you are a published author.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, it is a different world.
Yeah, much different and so exciting. But again, like you still have to do the work. Mm-hmm. It does. I don't think it's any easier. I just think it's more accessible, and that's the difference.
Yeah, well, we get more diversity of voices then, mm-hmm. because more people have access to that industry.
Yeah, yeah. for sure. And but it's still file management. Still. And
well, even you can tell.
Discipline and file management.
Yes,
people's blogs who are easy to read and like organized well, and the blog is designed well, they get more readers. Mm-hmm. People who are not very skilled in that, no, you can't, like once you're in a paragraph, you're like, oh yeah, I can't, yeah. right? It's just too much. So there's still a lot of skills involved and a lot Absolutely. Of experience that go into publishing, even if you're talking about yeah. a blog.
A blog or a website or even a brochure, you know? So when I moved here, because I didn't think I would make it in sort of traditional publishing, but I figured I could do corporate publishing, which is basically marketing, a form of marketing, mm-hmm. right? And everything is, you know, when you're sending out a brochure or regardless, building a website, that's all different. That's a form of publishing. So you, and we are so obsessed with ourselves, like, hey, we're awesome, come and buy our stuff. We should be more obsessed with what the customers need or what the readers want, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of websites, you read them and you think, this doesn't make any sense.
Because they're just tooting their own horn.
Because you're not thinking about what people want. Like, yeah. for example, years ago I did some work with the CSRD, and this was just when everybody was sort of thinking, yeah, you know what, maybe we will get one of those fancy new websites. And they said, how would we even start? And I said, you know what I would do is monitor your calls for 10 days or 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And just have a little, you know, a little tick sheet, and every time someone calls, write down what it's about. And the so, you know, they had grand plans, they're going to put everything on, which eventually they did do, but they wanted to know what people would want to see on the website. Well, the top two things were
what?
Garbage. Is the dump open? And am I close to a fire hydrant?
Oh.
So it. I said, so the lesson there is if you don't have those two things on your website, then it's not really worth doing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So you have to understand your
you
people before
you... You have to know why people are coming. What do they need to... Right? So, yeah. like, I just saw a thing online, Canada Post. Someone went to email them at the email address they put on the website. It didn't work. So it's hard. You know, when you're in the message delivery business yeah. and your email doesn't even work, you know, that is a challenge.
That's a kind of a problem.
You've got to get the basics right.
Yeah.
And that's file management.
Yeah. And we'll do that. The Art of Publishing.
And our lovely Trail Mix publication.
Yes.
Yes.
So getting back to that, that was it was an unusual project, I'm guessing, mm-hmm. Because we had a huge collaboration between 45 people, three organizations,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, that would be the start, 45 people.
Yeah, yeah. And that everybody had a different role to play.
Yes.
It's not like 45 people who all had the same vision.
No, exactly. Like, here, everybody, give me 20 words on this. No.
Yeah.
You had photographers. Mm-hmm. You had
guides,
artists.
Yeah. And for photographers, we had two different roles for them. Well, many, really. But they were there to document the process, but also to develop their own artwork, right?
Yes.
Because their photographs are going to be, or in the exhibition too. It's not just the book. So yes. they're part of the whole installation. So it wasn't just about taking photos of the people on the trip. It was about finding those really special, you know, moments of amazement and beauty, mm-hmm. and telling their own story through photographs. Mm-hmm. And then being able to provide both of those things to us for the publication,
yes.
and choose ones for the exhibition.
Yes.
So, which were different. So that was a challenge for the photographers.
Oh my goodness, yes, I can only imagine.
Yeah. And then for the guides, their role initially was to guide the people on the trail and explain the history and the ecology and all the things about the trail that are so interesting, and then to tell the story of the day. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that quite a number of the teams collaborated on the story. So the story that you'll read in the publication is like a three-person story.
Yes, like this was our experience.
Yeah.
And they're lovely stories, too.
Yeah.
And so they read like love letters to me.
Aww.
Like I feel like it's really intimate.
Yeah.
And then we did this, and then we went there, and it was lovely, you know?
Yeah.
So you sort of feel like you're getting that inside track on what happened on that day on that trail. And for some of them, they went like two or three times.
Yeah, yeah. And some of them had crazy adventures.
Yes.
Like wild stuff happened. But we had limited word space,
yes.
for the publication, so hardly any of that wildness ended up in the story. Well, just really kind of a few little tidbits and the overall feel of the day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was an editing fun.
Well, I
what do you call that?
Bunch of fun.
Well, it was a editing
challenge.
Yes, we'll go with that. It was kind of a like I didn't want. It's challenging to edit something like that because you don't want to mess with the feel of the story.
No. Mm-hmm.
So it really was just a matter of, well, did they actually mean to say the word than rather than then,
mm-hmm.
and you know, things like that. So
They weren't edited. They were copy edited. There's
yes.
a difference,
yes.
right? So editing means to reshape something to make sure that the point of view is getting across. And,
yeah.
But copy editing is strictly grammar, typos, punctuation, that
yeah.
sort of thing.
Yeah.
And even that, there wasn't much need.
No, I tried to not really mess with stuff very much. But I did have to edit a few for content, for length.
Yes.
Because they're long stories. They were so long, and we had a limit. And so I had to pick and choose the pieces that I thought kind of flowed together mm-hmm. the best. That was so challenging because especially like I'm thinking about the Tom Brakehouse story.
Yes.
It could not be cut. Like it just was this crazy story that included all these beautiful little elements all having to do with the stuffed beaver that they took with them down the trail. And I I'm actually on the phone with you. Louise, can we squeeze this in? I know it's more than 250 yes. words, but I can't cut it.
We didn't cut it.
No,
it's in. Yeah, so
we let it flow. They have less artwork space, but
yeah, those are things that need to be in there.
Yes,
like, yeah,
it's that good.
It was. Yeah. It was that good.
And it just means you have to trade off that space for something else, right?
Yeah.
Because really, publishing is also about scarcity. You only have so many pages.
Yeah.
Right, and every new set costs more money, and you have to think, what is the value added of that? Right?
Yeah.
It's called the signature. Like you can't just add a page. You have to add like two or four or eight.
Right.
That's how books work.
Exactly. And that was the thing about this layout, mm-hmm. right? You had to design the layout before we even started to get the content mm-hmm. so that we knew kind of how we were going to fit it all together. Mm-hmm. So that we had, it was almost like a template, a four page template.
Yeah.
And then as the files start coming in and they break the walls of the template,
yes.
you have to start redesigning every little yeah. section.
That's
and,
right.
Oh.
So most books have a grid.
Yeah.
And so we design a grid, but sometimes we have to break it to accommodate
yeah.
a different, some pictures. The other thing is some pictures are a portrait and some pictures are landscape, right? Vertical and horizontal. So that can mess up.
And some of the artwork. So we got the photographers, the guys, and then the artists. We have the artists who sometimes did one piece.
Yes.
Sometimes did 8 or 9 or 10 pieces.
Yes.
So then we have to decide, right? Oh man, which one actually gets included in the publication?
Yeah.
And then the strongest piece might not be a vertical format. It might be the horizontal one. So then you squeeze it into a vertical format, then you're focusing in, you're creating a new composition,
mm-hmm.
which the artist didn't really intend, mm-hmm. but it looks fantastic on the page. So you're changing things again, right? It's like editing again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
well, so you, in a way you were the editor on this. Because you had to make all those decisions. And that's part of editing.
Can't we pretend there was somebody else that did that so that I'm not
you
know, the one responsible?
Yeah, okay.
We had a Marianne, somebody.
This book edited by... Unknown.
Someone.
Anonymous.
Ghost editor.
Well, there's ghost
Matthew
writers.
Matthew did it.
Yeah, we'll say it was Matthew.
You found out.
Yeah.
How did you do it?
Fault.
that way. Let's just pick somebody else because I'm not sure I want to take that responsibility.
Aww.
It's okay though. What once we're done, and you're right, it's going to be an awesome baby to to birth
it
out. But it was totally a process of madness and uncertainty and changing things that I didn't know should be changed.
Like trial and error sort of thing.
Kind of.
But that's how we learn. So I'm always thinking to myself, okay, well, next time we do this, and I think, wait. Maybe there won't be a next time. Well, but you learn every single time.
I know. Right? Except that it's just like the mosaic, though, because when we did the mosaic, I was thinking, well, we got to write this down because I didn't know this before. And we learned this. And now next time we would do this. Mm-hmm. But by the time we finished, I'm like, I am never doing that again. And people always say to me after, oh, what's the next mosaic project?
Yes.
I'm like, ha ha, there is none.
Yes.
Like, just don't even talk to me.
No.
But yeah. Maybe once that baby's a few years old, maybe I'd be willing. But of course, I've forgotten half the stuff we said we learned that we must write down, which we didn't because we were too busy doing the mosaic project. I don't know.
Well,
might be the same with publications.
Well, that's a good sign to debrief. You know, when the show is over at the end of the summer, we need to debrief and make sure we catch it, whatever we missed.
Yeah.
But I don't think much will have been missed.
Well, it's just such a one-off. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. Like, this particular show, I've never done anything with this many artists.
It's words
and this many non-artists.
And pictures and artwork and maps. So that makes it even more complicated.
I know.
And directions, right?
Yeah.
So there's that technical side. You don't want to send people up the wrong side of the mountain.
Oh, the pressure for accuracy.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Right? I don't need the call. I was reading your book and now I'm stuck.
Exactly.
And you need to come and rescue me. I don't want that.
No, I don't want that either. I don't want that responsibility.
Because there is that responsibility in publishing.
Yeah.
Accuracy and,
And
don't say mean things about people. You don't write stuff you can't back up.
Yeah.
That's why they always have those little sort of disclaimers at the beginning.
We should put a disclaimer on the book.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Everything written here was written by people who've never published a book before. Not you, I mean me.
No. Disclaimers are always good.
Oh, gosh. So the accuracy thing has been quite a lot of pressure.
Write that down. Disclaimer. No.
Are we really? She is writing
disclaimer.
It down.
Oh
my gosh.
Oh, yeah. She's writing it down.
Yeah. That's it. It's official.
There's a line under it.
That's even
it's important.
Yeah. That's gonna get in the book.
If I get a highlighter out, we know it's really important.
Yeah.
Notes.
Line
but
under
it, most books that we've published have disclaimers.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly dealing with it. If there's any resemblance to people you think you know, this isn't them.
Okay, this is it for our book.
You do
if
not
there's
know this
any
person.
Resemblance to the people pictured here,
yes.
It is not intended.
Yeah, exactly.
Not,
unintended.
You do not know this person.
And you can't
it's probably just a figment of your imagination.
You can't just take it and run with it. If you need it, you need to let us know so we can give you permission to use it.
Right, Yeah. Oh, that was a whole other thing, right? Is asking the artists and the photographers to give up their copyright for the
they don't really give up their copyright.
No, it's the limited run.
Limited rights, yeah.
And then, but we have we've got the rights to print a certain number of copies.
Yeah.
And then if we decide to print more, then we actually have to start paying them royalties.
Yeah.
Right. So, which is cool. Because they're very generous folks, and they were willing to see that happen so that the Arts Council and the Trail Alliance would be able to receive the proceeds of sales.
Mm-hmm.
But then anything more, if we start to get excited because we've sold out in the first 2 weeks or something, they would actually get paid for their work, which is important.
Let me tell you this. If you were to sell through, and I'm confident you will, it will be a handsome sum for the groups.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be, this thing could have some pretty strong fundraising legs.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be great to be able to say to artists and photographers and all the contributors, here's your share. Might not be a big share. Sometimes artists and photographers and writers are paid in actual books.
Oh yeah,
right,
here's your second book.
Yeah.
Which is fair because they can give
absolutely.
Them as gifts and
mm-hmm.
It's a very weird
the business model is bizarre, but
well, I guess because there's not really a lot of cash flowing really.
No.
Right,
like you're supposed to pay them in cash,
yeah,
but sometimes the cash isn't there. But if the publisher took the risk with all the books,
mm-hmm.
and the author can go say on a tour, take their 20-50 books, whatever, sell them for cash, that's in a way
that's right,
that can work.
Yeah.
And then the other thing with books is, unlike most products where the end of the market decides, right? So if I'm selling strawberries at Askew's, Askew's decides what they need to price it at.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything flows back from there.
Right.
Whereas publishing, the publisher decides.
Mm.
And then you just keep adding on. So every book in every bookstore is a guaranteed sale because most books are on consignment. And if they sell it, they take their 40%, and what they don't sell, they send back.
Hmm. Okay.
So people always think, I want to publish a book, and then I'm going to sell it into Costco and Walmart. And I say, well, that's great, except if Costco and Walmart don't sell them, a big truck's going to come to your door.
Dump off all the
dump
books.
Dump off the books and ask for the money back.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a careful what you wish for.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Because we're still, then we come back to, what does the customer want?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a thing too that we had to think about in terms of this book, because we've got such a wide potential audience.
Yes.
Like, was it a trail guide? Is it a storybook? Is it a gallery? Like, is it an exhibition catalog? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, what is it? It's a everything.
Mm-hmm.
So who are our people then? You have to think about your readers.
I think your people, I think there's, if you look at the demographics, and we could go back to the postal code trick. If you took the postal code of all the people who came to the gallery, and you took the postal code of all the people who went on trails, you probably find those demographic clusters have quite a lot in common.
Yeah.
In fact, we know they do because we see them in the trail and then we see them at the gallery.
Yeah.
So that's that postal code is sort of their adventurous, their middle upper.
They're called cultural explorers.
Yes. And so you do.
I love that term.
If you want to sell to them, you have to find what else they do.
Yeah.
Right.
And they read books.
Yes, and they go to bookstores.
Yeah,
because only 5% of Canadians spend any time in a bookstore.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty low.
That's really weird.
Yeah, especially in schools, because all the kids now, it's all tech, so no one has enough dedication to go to a bookstore and buy anything, really.
Wow.
Like, you have textbooks, but that's...
Yeah, I mean, we'll read a textbook, but that's just in our local library, and our teachers just give it to us, like, here, do all your work out of this sort of thing.
I know, then it's work, rather than
it's work.
Joy. Yeah. Yeah, that's a different
library. You just get comic books if you go to the library because you just rather sit and get it over with rather
chill
than reading an actual book. I mean, there are those few people who go to the library or whatever and get like some interesting book or some interesting thing, like in general, but it's never going over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I just know when I go into a mall with my kids and I say, okay, you got to go find the underwear store or whatever.
Yeah.
And they go into the bookstore and then that's
and
it.
Then
I've lost them.
They're gone.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
I'm sorry.
A good thing.
It is. It's a good thing. Yeah.
The art of publishing.
It should be the fine art of
the
publishing.
The fine art of publishing. My goodness.
Because
it's exquisite.
It is. It's pretty fine.
Well, there's nothing more beautiful than a perfect book. Although there's no such thing as a perfect book. Apparently there's a prize in the UK for the perfect book, and no one's ever claimed it.
Really?
Because every book has something. It's
never
like a sweater.
That.
It's like a sweater. Every sweater's got a little thing in it, like a hand-knit sweater.
A little nub.
Yeah.
A little something.
And I always say, and I always find them. I've seen errors in my own books that no one else has noticed before, and I just kind of sit on it hoping, oh, please, I hope nobody notices. And some pretty glaring ones, too.
Well,
every book has something.
Some people notice things like that and don't say anything.
Yes.
Believe me, at the gallery, I know this. But some people are very, very excited to say something.
Yes.
If there is one little letter that's not the right letter on one of our labels in the gallery, like if it's somebody's title that's of a place in Newfoundland or something and something's not right, I hear about it.
Yes.
And I hear about it from several people before I get together to change the label.
Yes.
And
it means, you did this.
Yeah, and it means they're paying attention.
That's
and it means
fine.
They're reading, right?
Yes.
Thank you
yeah.
for reading.
Thank you.
But the truth is, despite all of our, blood, sweat, and tears, people still want to publish books.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. It's the human spirit, you know?
Okay, so...
But I do worry about the industry because, trust me, there are warehouses full of books that will never, ever, 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 ever be sold.
Oh.
Because we tend to focus on... It's a bit like the car industry, you know? There has to be a new model every year, right? So every spring and fall, big publishing houses have to have their new list. They can be 12, 20, 200 books on their list. And then they kind of... ignore last year's list.
Dispose of the rest.
Right? Or sent last year.
Dispose of how?
Well, they
put them aside, put them in a big box, and just leave them there.
They're sent to remainder dust. Bookstores, Costco, oh, right. Walmart, okay. You know, Book of the Month Club, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or they're just stored and written off. Yeah. So,
like those huge fields and fields of cars.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
In where there's car manufacturing, there's fields of cars that were 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah. And we do that because we think we get a better deal if we print more. And it's true. Generally speaking, you do get a better deal.
Okay.
But I advocate for a smaller run, get that first run sold, and then use that money to pay for the second run. That way, you're not sitting... And because I only, not out of wisdom, out of sheer experience, you know, I have spent thousands of dollars on books that are sitting in boxes. Mm-hmm. That money I could have used elsewhere. I could have used that money to promote the book. I could have used that money, right? So don't lock up too much money in the inventory.
Right.
Because
so even though you're going to save a couple bucks per book on the printing, if you print 5,000 as opposed to 500, just print the 500.
Yeah. Pardon me. That was a good lesson. Expensive, but good lesson.
Yeah.
For me, or for Playfor Publishing. Now, so I'm always advocating for less is more, less is more. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to have a book published, it's unlikely in today's market that a traditional publisher would take you on if you don't have any experience and you don't have a readership and you don't have a blog and you've never written in a magazine. You know, they need to know you have some experience. So then your next option is to self-publish, which can be expensive, or to go to what's called the vanity press, which is even more expensive. So a vanity press is where you pay an established printing company or publishing company to publish your book for you, but it's, you know, upwards of $20,000-$25,000.
Yeah. Is that what would Playfor be classified as? Because
sort of a hybrid.
Yeah.
So we no longer so we don't do much traditional publishing anymore, only because the risk is too high, and we didn't qualify for the Canada Council for the Arts Emerging Publisher status, which would have made that process a bit, like, would have leveled the playing field. So we're doing, I guess, what's called custom publishing, but not vanity publishing.
Right.
So because we have another business, Mediability, which actually makes money, Playfor, it's more of a community contribution type company where we help groups publish books so that they can fundraise or do whatever. Right. Yeah. So,
which we appreciate.
Yeah. And I really feel like
just gonna point that out.
Mostly Playfor at this point is mostly publishing books for nonprofits who are trying to raise money.
Yeah.
And you know what? If it's done well, it does make a nice little tidy bit of change.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and because you've got it, your audience is already there.
Yes.
Right? And that's so, it's just a critical part. And probably when you're self-publishing, you know, you've got your mom and your sister and whatever that's totally going to buy your book, but who else do you got? Right.
I think that's the other thing. You have to be really humble. Humility is so important in publishing. You have to say, okay, who's going to buy this book? Mm-hmm. And if your answer is everybody, then you need to revisit that. Yeah. And you'd be surprised. Everybody's going to love this.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody's going to love it.
But you're competing with
but not everybody's going to buy it. Of books. And it's very hard to get into the chain. So just figure out, what is it I want? Do I want a pretty book with my name on it that I can give to my friends and family? Mm. Then if that's the answer, the question is, where do I get that done?
Yeah.
You can have it done online. You can do it yourself. You can hire a contractor to do it for you. There are lots of options. But the most important thing is to write a decent book, to have all your files together, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then to know in the end what it is you want.
Yeah.
Because if you're really interested in building an audience and going down the path of being, of developing content that is read, I suggest blogging. Because print is kind of a little bit old school.
Yeah.
But some people like the physical aspect of, this is my book.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and also in terms of a gift, that's the best thing, right?
Lovely.
Like, you can't really send somebody a link to your blog as a gift.
No.
So this thing that is especially part of your family history or something is a lovely thing to be able to give to your family.
Yes.
So I kind of get that.
Yeah.
Where
so that part is, I mean, I would never recommend vanity publishing only because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not genuine, you know, Yeah. They're overcharged. I mean, that's my view.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go the self-publishing route, it doesn't mean you can't hire someone to help you.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Oh, then we can go back to that design fee schedule.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
If you if help. I design your book, it's $20. If you help me design your book, it's $2,000.
$2,000.
Whoa. Yeah. If you want to sit in the chair behind me, it's $2,500.
Oh, yeah. And there's really, it's so much value added to hire a good editor, hire a good copy editor, mm-hmm. hire a decent cover artist, like a designer to actually do the cover. Make sure you get all your, what's called cataloging information and front materials in order. You know, you need an ISBN number, you need CIP data, you need all of these things.
See, that's why having a group like Play For It in town is so valuable, because you have all the contacts too, right? Like, you are the masters of publishing, plus you have designers on staff and copy editors and people who are all connected that you can say, okay, now we need this and this. Like, the process is taken care of. It's a clear highway.
Yes.
But you have, like, you can't do all that by yourself.
No. And as I say, there's different ways to publish. You can publish in print, you can publish online, you can publish by on video, you know, like, you can.
So how does the
screen e-book? Captures? You can, you can have books on tape. You can have, So it's important to think about the content. Does it have value? Does it have value to you? Does it have value to your whole family? Does it have value to the whole world? Mm-hmm. You know, like Harry Potter, she wrote that for her and her kids. Mm-hmm. It just turns out it happened to have a lot of value for other. Mm-hmm. Families.
I know. Well, too. Same with Rick Riordan, right? The whole Percy Jackson series he wrote for his son.
Yes.
And wow, that's gotten kind of huge.
It's exploded.
Yeah. And so those, it's important to know who you're doing this for. Mm-hmm. So if you're starting out with, you know, blank paper and pen, and you're going to write the great Canadian novel, that's not really how it works.
So how does self-publishing work when you're doing an ebook? Like, what is the process there that's different than...
Well, you still have the content. It still has to be, you know, quote-unquote digitized. And then ebooks can be annoying because there's so many different... This is the thing about the web. It's like the Wild West out there. There's all these different formats, you know, this kind of reader and that kind of reader. And then, you know, the iPad is different than the...
And Kindle. The Kindle Kobo.
And the Kobo. And the... So, again, it's... There are experts out there who will help you, but ultimately you can just publish it as a PDF.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And sell it, or not sell it, or give...
Well, and that's the other thing, right? Who's going to, like, then you're looking at places like Kindle or Amazon or whatever to buy it so that they sell it, right? Mm-hmm. Unless you're selling it by yourself, like...
No, they don't buy it. They let you, they pay you, you pay them to be allowed to sell on.
Oh.
Like Apple, so like people often wonder, why are ebooks so expensive? So we had a title was say $13.95 in print, and the ebook was $6.95. And by the time the proceeds from all of the various partners in the chain came back, I think we were getting like 32 cents a book. Because they're called aggregators. So their job is to take your content and aggregate it and put it in the different formats and get it on the platforms, like all the e-platforms, Amazon,
right.
Apple. So everybody in the chain takes a cut, right? Oh, and by the time the money comes back.
It's like iTunes, right? We thought they were getting more money rather than these records.
And then they came out saying like, hey, we're going to release this new thing. It's going to be free music for a month and none of the artists got anything.
Oh, man.
Nothing.
It's a nasty kind of world out there. And right now.
Because they curate who gets on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then they take 30%, and then you have to pay an aggregator to get you on iTunes. So there's really not much.
Yeah. No.
And that I think that's why ebooks are kind of
we reached peak ebook.
Yeah,
didn't
I think
we?
So. Yeah. And they're accessories too.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I guess maybe don't rush into anything really at this point, right? No. Because the same thing happened with radio when TV came along. Everybody thought radio was dead.
Mm-hmm. Just died out at one point.
Well, but it kind of just was there, right? Like, it wasn't the big thing, but it was there. And then TV did its thing, and everybody was like, ah, la, la, la. Everybody who needed a TV show needed the visual. Radio just stayed.
Yeah.
And now I kind of think the same thing's happening, right? Yeah. Books will just be here.
Yes.
Same for TV.
But we have a responsibility to, you know, to the planet and to each other to be thoughtful about you know, there's no need to go out and print 5,000 of something.
Yeah.
And then be disappointed when they don't sell.
Yeah.
Like, it's important to test it. And maybe the book isn't the best format. Maybe it would be better as an e-book. Maybe it would be better as a podcast. Maybe it would be better as a, pardon me, video or movie. And those are all tools we have now that we didn't. So, like, in my day, if I wanted to do a book, in fact, I did do a book in high school for a project. I had to type, hand type, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cut the pages myself and then give them to my teacher. She shipped it off to another city to have it bound, and it got shipped back to me. I got a copy. She got a copy. The library, I think they did 6 copies. It was, you think this trail mix thing was an ordeal. And the book only had like 12 pages.
Yeah.
Whereas if Matthew were to do the same, I was about his age when I published my quote unquote book. He could do it all like at his fingertips.
I could type it up and do it myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like 12 pages that take him, what, 2 hours?
Yeah. Well, it took me 2 months.
To write now.
Yeah. So that's what's happening.
Yeah.
But they still have to make those thoughtful decisions in between.
Yeah.
So it has been that. I mean, I feel lucky to be in publishing. I think, I often think of my grandmother. She would have loved this.
Yeah.
Right? And she would love that her granddaughters, you know, because she had lots of us, but had that choice.
Yeah.
You know, and so that piece is important. So as frustrating as it can be, I always think, yes, but it's such a privilege to be able to blog and to print and to write and to, you know.
That's true.
You know, it's really.
It is a privilege.
Yeah. It is.
So. Excellent. And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, we're really into the publishing and book realm.
Yes.
Today.
Which is really storytelling.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, and all art is storytelling, yes, as far as I'm concerned, true. Right? But it flows into our dramatic moment.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's fond of the Canadian heritage.
Mm-hmm.
Moments.
The Heritage Minutes.
Right? Which you could publish. I mean, if you think about it, that could be a blog. It could be a book. Mm-hmm. It could be a magazine article. But no, it's a
video.
It's a video.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that in that, those messages, short, bright bits of information on TV have been extremely effective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who doesn't know the Nelly story, right?
Yeah.
Or the Canada story, or the
Or the Laura Secord story.
Or the Laura Secord story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the best that was the best tactic for that content.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But on Aboriginal Day, the 20th anniversary, they released a new one.
Yes.
And it is a dramatic moment.
It's a pretty dramatic moment.
Dun, dun, dun.
It is.
Yes,
it's about the residential schools.
Absolutely.
And this has been a very hard piece of our history to face up to.
Mm-hmm.
We still are trying to unfold all of the horrible damage that these systems did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for us to kind of face it. It's hard for us to embrace it in a way, right, as part of our history.
Well, we don't, you know, it's not something we want to wave a flag to, like,
well,
yeah, yes, like,
well,
Laura Secord or Nellie McClung.
Yeah, and it wasn't a one-off either, right? Like, this was a systematic issue for decades across the whole country. And so it is. It's part of our history,
yes.
and we need to face it.
And
it's
a heritage.
It is.
Now it's a formal heritage moment.
Yeah.
So released on the 20th anniversary and written by
Joseph. Well, written by Joseph Boyden.
Yes.
The script was written by Joseph Boyden. So he is the author of The Orenda.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people who listen to The Mothership, CBC, will remember, you know, part of Canada Reads. And, you know, like, if you haven't already read it. And so a significant Canadian author. And this one really diverges as well because it has an actual family member do the narration.
Oh, wow.
Rather than an actor.
Wow.
Yeah.
A family member of the boy
of
in the story.
Boy who the story is about,
yes.
Yeah, Channie Wenjack.
Okay.
And it is it's a pretty horrible story.
Yeah.
It's not an easy watch, but it's important that we watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the story of one young boy, and his sister is the woman who narrates it.
Wow.
Yeah, and she tells the story of her brother, and yeah, it's important.
Yeah.
So you can find it on cbc.ca.
Mm-hmm.
It's on there, and probably on YouTube, and any, and maybe on, if you still watch regular TV
on CBC.
Yeah.
And we'll let you decide when and if you're ready to watch it. But what I love about that approach is they had a medium and they commissioned an artist, right, and an author, and they did it properly. Like, if you're going to do it, that's the other thing. If you're going to do it properly.
Yeah.
Whether it's a recipe book or your memoirs or a trail guide, right, don't just go, oh, well, whatever, I'll just do this.
Yeah, I'll just do my story, my interpretation of the story.
Or I'll just use Comic Sans type and and I'll put it on. Matthew and I have a ongoing joke about Comic Sans.
Yeah,
type.
It's true. Every part of every design decision affects the view or the way that people receive that information.
Yes,
it affects how they receive it. Yes. So don't use Comic Sans.
No, Comic Sans is a joke.
Well, it is a joke, and for serious things, people are using it.
I've seen a legit documentary about how bad Comic Sans is.
Comic, get it?
It's a 9 minute 47 second documentary on how bad Comic Sans is.
Wow.
Well, I think it was developed. It's anyway, so interesting. We could do, you know what? Make a note. Make another note. We should do a show all on fonts, because fonts are great stories about amazing people.
Yeah.
They were all people. Bedoni, you know?
Yeah.
Verdana was not a person, but, you know.
Verdana.
Carlson was a person. Verdana was an invention of Microsoft. But
I like Helvetica.
Helvetica.
I love Helvetica. Yes. It's my favorite.
I'll just pick a font that looks nice.
Yeah.
Can I do something?
Yes.
Yeah. What is it? For fonts and stuff, I really, like, when we do school projects whatsoever on the computers, like, me, I'm always that one guy who goes over the limit for how much you write. Mm-hmm. So I usually have a very, like, immersive opinion on whatever we're writing about. So
shocking.
I can't imagine. It's interesting. So, yeah, huh. So what I'll do is, I usually end up picking a font that's like corresponds with whatever I'm talking about, sort of thing.
It's true. Wow,
a thematic font.
Yes.
The font changes every once in a while when I change the topic a little bit.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's cool. See, there's design decisions being made right there.
Yes, yes.
Well, Apple, you picked the right family to be born
from,
into.
You know.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Exactly.
Where we were. Okay, so fonts. That's a show all by itself.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought.
Whoa.
Maybe if you're going to do it.
Yes.
Whether it's a podcast, you know, make sure you use the right software. Research it. Get yourself ready. And as I say, the tools, like, just this week I was playing with Screen Record for a client job I'm doing. That is such a powerful tool, and available on most computers, right? Most computers have, Matthew, help me out. QuickTime is a very powerful tool. Audacity, you can download for free.
Audacity is great on your
smartphone to record things.
Yeah.
There's something called Open Broadcast Software. You just go download it. You control audio, video, set it on different windows or whatever. It's free. It's all on your device. Takes an hour to learn. You can record anything, any game, any podcast on just one software. You download Mac, Windows, Linux, anything.
And the other thing I would say is, again, if you're going to do it properly. Make sure you edit yourself. Mm-hmm. Make sure you take time to do it again and again and again and again. Like, you rarely get it done the first.
Yeah.
Right.
Trust that, like, I mean, even though you think you're awesome, trust that the process of doing it a second, third, and fourth, and 20th time is going to make it better.
And you have to commit to that process because every time you go through it, you learn something. It's a bit like being an astronaut, you know, like you.
Whoa. That's a mighty comparison.
No, but it's true, because you're always simulating, so that when the actual time comes to shoot up there into outer space, you've seen every scenario.
Yeah.
You know exactly what's going to happen.
First time,
it's
technically,
not your
right?
first, yeah.
Not your
rocket
first
launch,
canoe trip,
right? or canoe trip, exactly. So, and don't worry about what you don't know, because honestly, the process will tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I should have done that.
You always want to do some research, like just jumping into space straight away. You don't do any of the training, just pew. No, you're.
I know. It applies to everything, right? Your research is so important.
Yeah, preparation. If you're going to record something, spend a good, right before you do the first one, spend a good couple hours researching and over and over. You do what, 1 hour show?
Yeah.
After that, do some more research. Another show, do some more research. Yeah. And at one point, it gets better and better and better. Yeah.
And often I find that it feels very, you feel motivated to get something that's finished and publishable, like whether it be book or online or whatever, so fast. But hold yourself back from the publishing part until you've had somebody else look at it and feedback, and then maybe go another go, and right?
Yeah.
Like, just wait. Just wait. Be patient with yourself.
And as I say, it's an exercise in it's like running through the street naked, having to give your book to someone else and go, tell me what you think, like what you really think.
Yeah.
So if someone says to you, will you read my book? I wrote this book. Please do them the service of being honest with them.
Do them a favor.
Yeah.
Do them a favor. Do not like just pat their head and say, nice job.
Yeah.
Be brutally politely. Honest.
Yeah. Honest. And you have to be clear in the beginning though, right? Like saying, okay, this is not personal. I'm not saying that you are these things. I'm saying your book has made me feel these things. Yes. And if it makes you feel more comfortable, write it down instead.
Yes.
Instead of talking to the person with your feedback. Mm-hmm. That's definitely what I've found.
Yeah.
Because my girls have asked me on occasion to help them edit a story because they've been told it's part of their process to have a parent or an adult help them edit. And instead of me saying, oh, I think you should, you know, I actually do the pencil thing, right? Make little tiny notes all over. And then they'd get to choose.
You get to decide.
Yeah,
oh, totally.
If they want to make that change or if they're, you know, okay, maybe rethink that sentence or whatever, right? So I'm not actually changing anything for them. I'm suggesting changes. Mm-hmm. And then they get to decide.
So maybe you should try this and that might make it better.
Yeah.
And it's only been my experience, right? Oh, no. Like, and it's not because I'm a brilliant writer or brilliant anything. It's only that my experience in reading and writing has taught me these little tiny things.
Yes.
And I'm just trying to help them see it before they have to go through their 40 years of experience and training, right? So it's only a sharing. Yes. I'm not trying to make them have a certain voice or anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is what I think we all need to be clear about when we're offering ourselves up for criticism or feedback, that person isn't trying to change what we're saying. They're only trying to share their experience.
Yes.
And so be okay with that.
Yes. And it takes time, right? And in the end, you want to have whether it's a video or a podcast or a blog or a book, you want to have something that you're proud of, not something that you thought, oh, if only I'd had more time, or I should have been more thoughtful about this, or, oh, well, I can't help it. I did it all myself, right? It doesn't, you want to have something that you don't feel you need to make excuses for.
Exactly.
And that is discipline.
Yeah.
Not
I'd be so proud of it.
It's not about money. It's not about expertise. It's about discipline and humility. You have to be humble enough to say, will you help me do this?
Yeah.
So, and then it gets done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was your 10-minute lesson in self-publishing.
There you go. Self-publishing.
Well, it's true. Self-publishing doesn't mean doing it all yourself.
Yes.
Does it?
No, it doesn't. No, you're right. Well done.
There, it's all done. We said it all in one
sentence. And you know who would probably have a great story to tell?
Who would have a great story?
Anonymous.
Anonymous does have a great story to tell.
Anonymous is the sponsor of our show, Artscape. Whoa.
We do not know who this person is. But they believe so strongly in our conversation about art and design that, and community radio in general, that they have just offered money to sponsor our show.
Yeah. That is wonderful.
Isn't it wonderful?
Is. That is great.
Isn't that great? They Why just came up one day and said, here's, they didn't give, we don't personally
I didn't
give
pay
money,
any
but,
money.
But it supports the station, right?
Yeah.
Matthew'd never been here before. There's computers and microphones and what are these things called?
Boom arms
and... you know, all sorts of things.
There's lots
of
wires.
Wires. And
I got so excited when I walked in here. There's so much cool stuff.
So much cool stuff, right? So thank you, Anonymous, for helping defray the cost of the cool stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because Anonymous is cool. Young people, right? Mm-hmm. Matthew might want to do a show now.
Yeah. Oh, I want to do a show.
Yeah, because it's so exciting. Like, this is totally glamorous.
I'll be here again.
Okay, well, as you can see, we're big stars, right? Like, we're celebrities.
It's so glamorous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty big time.
I'm going to need autographs after this.
Yeah, right. But if it weren't for sponsors such as Anonymous, we wouldn't be on air. So we're grateful for your support. And
yeah, we're grateful for the opportunity because in a way we're self-publishing every single time we do this.
Every single time.
Yeah.
This is one giant act of self-publishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're grateful. Okay, so as we are signing off for the rest of the summer, because we will be in repeats now until September, then we want to remind people that you can get a listing of arts events by date on our website, salmonarmartcenter.ca. If you click on participate, then you'll get the listing by date of everything going on.
And it'll be kept up to date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay. And that it's wow season.
So much going on in the summer. Yeah. And the trail.
Yeah. Wednesdays on the Wharf happens every Wednesday. Trail Mix is at the gallery Tuesday to Saturday, 11 till 4. Family Saturdays continues all summer long outside on the lawn.
There's theaters on the edge.
So many events.
The Edge will be here. Roots and Blues will be here. Yep. Caravan Farm Theater will
the summer
start
show
up again.
It's so, our town.
That's right.
So yeah. much stuff to do.
There
so
is.
Much
to do.
Yeah. We so, are packed for the stuff yes. in the summer.
Maybe
here.
I won't just sit in my room all summer.
No.
Find something to do.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Wow. Yeah. What a concept.
I know.
And you can find us on Facebook, Salmon Arm Art Center. I think everybody loves to put a few things up about the exhibition, upcoming coffee breaks. The teams will be in the exhibition to talk about their
kids'
experience.
Animation camp.
The animation art camp. Ooh, ooh. The mini film fest on July 15th. You yeah. must see that at the Classic in the afternoon at 1 o'clock. And yeah, you can find all that information on salmonarmartcenter.ca.
So enjoy summer.
Have a great summer, everyone. Thank you for joining us, Matthew.
No problemos.
See you next time.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.